Hey, Mike.
Hey, Michelle. Hey, do you raise your hand when you say here?
Kind of, yeah.
Don't you? Computer.
I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Welcome to West Coast Project, Michelle, on this fantastic Wednesday.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
502 for the affair. How'd you like this one?
I didn't love this one. I was pretty excited last week. I thought we may be able to go back to the beginning affair, but I think I'm going to be annoyingly critical.
You don't sound very good. You got the wrong microphone again.
Ugh. This thing drives me crazy. Let me double check. Sometimes it just changes the microphone. My computer's been updating, and every time it updates, it wants to change the microphone. Yep, I think so. Hang on. I did a sound check. I thought it was okay, but it's real hard to tell on this end. How's that?
I think it's better. It's hard to tell.
Okay. Is it better?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Sorry.
All right, Michelle. They're making people look clownish again in this.
They are, and it's okay, right? That's okay.
I don't know. I gave Sarah Treem some good points. High marks on this one. Or whoever's writing these. I know she's the creator. I know she's actually writing these episodes. But there were some good points along with the bad ones that I'll make fun of. But there were some good points in this one.
Okay, tell me what you think.
Well, when we get to them, I'll get to them. But I don't know. I thought they made Janelle look really clownish. Sasha looks pretty clownish. Like, they're not even real. They're cartoonish. And do they really want us to start to navigate Sasha and Helen now, Michelle, for the next 8 episodes?
Sasha and Janelle.
Sasha and Helen are getting together.
Oh, Sasha and Helen. I thought you meant, like, as an individual character. Yeah.
No, a love interest between Sasha and Helen. Do we really want that?
I think that's probably what's going to happen, obviously. Not obviously, but probably. But I think it's okay to incorporate that as long as it doesn't overtake the story. Because the story, we've got to keep up with the story. If they start doing, like, perspectives from Sasha, I'm not going to like that. I don't like the perspectives from Janelle. It reminds me of the Frenchie LaRue when they did her perspective. It's just their perspectives are not, they're not necessary for this story. And even though it was good, but it was weird. It's like you said, that was kind of perfect. You said they were clownish. And I think it's okay for Sasha to be clownish in somebody else's perspective, but I think it's pretty bad when Janelle is clownish in her own perspective.
Yep.
That I don't get. I don't get how they have to be telling us that this is actually how she really is, that she really is over the top, because it's her own perspective.
Yeah, like the sea of white at the funeral, like, oh, I'm the only black person, so much to the point that everyone's white. Everyone's bleached, blanched white.
Right.
That is cartoonish.
It is, yeah. And it was just so over the top. So over the top done with Janelle as far as how everything was against her, and everything was against her because of her color. And I'm certainly not saying that, you know, race doesn't play a factor in stuff, because it obviously does. But they don't have to just... I think it's so much better when it's more subtle. Give us a little bit of credit for being a smart audience, so we can discern this stuff in place of just ramming it down our throats. It's too much.
I do like the creepy water at the intro, the scenes at the intro. That's one thing that I like.
I'm surprised you even listened to it. That song has been, I think.
Oh, I don't like the song at all. I hate the song. I just like the graphics.
It's funny, though, because the words of the song, and if you guys will ever listen to, like, the actual words, if you haven't yet, you probably have, because it's 5 seasons into it, but it is talking about somebody being born because of something happening, and then their kind of role. So, but this can't really be the story of Joni. And Joni, man, I don't know whose perspective that is. We have to assume it's Joni's perspective because nobody else is around. And is she, like, over the top or what?
Well, I mean, when we get to Joni, it's kind of like the... It's kind of like the teddy bear in the pool of Breaking Bad. We're getting these little dribs and drabs of something that Sarah Treem's team is going to make really important at the very end.
Right.
These little clues that we're getting about Joni.
Right. Right.
Anyway, so we start out with Janelle.
Yeah, and it looks like we're getting the same view as we had last week, but this time it's from Janelle's perspective. Were you happy to get Janelle's perspective?
No.
Did you think, no?
I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that we really only have Helen and Noah left, but we also have people like Whitney and stuff like that that we've been with the whole time. I don't love getting these, I hate to call them a side character because they're obviously very prominent in this season, but it just feels funny to me to get a perspective from somebody that's not a main character. Hasn't been a main character.
She doesn't even like Noah anymore. So why should we even care? If she's not going to be with Noah, who's she going to be? Do we care that much about her job status and running for this board? And
no, I think it's all about the social aspect of it. I think that whole thing, we're on our last season, we have 10 episodes, we're now a fifth of the way through, and part of it is definitely just this social issue being pushed in our face. And look, if we want to talk about a social issue, I'm open to that. But let's don't just put it in a finale of a television show, I don't think. Like I said, I'm highly critical of this. It was really frustrating to me. And because I'm so critical of this, I find myself, like, criticizing everything. Like, Janelle is fresh from the shower when we open up. And it's very reminiscent of how we ended the last episode of Joni in the bathroom mirror. But she's Skyping with Anton, who is obviously at Princeton. And so... Now I'm going to nitpick because I've got 3 girls just out of college, and at least here, you can't be deciding, oh, I might go to Princeton 6 months ahead of time. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that here. I mean, in 6 months, 6 months ago, he had not decided if he was going to go to college or go in the Army or what he was going to do. And in 6 months, he made up his mind where he wanted to go, got all the paperwork in, applied, got accepted, got his classes, moved across the country, and now is running for student government.
Yeah, I don't know. Did Princeton maybe make him an offer that he wasn't sure if he wanted to accept? I don't remember anything about Anton and his college aspiration.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember that. I don't think so. Last season, because I had went back and watched it, his father wanted him to go to a local state college, and his mom had been pushing him to go to Princeton, and he had decided he was going to go in the Army or the military or something. So they didn't, I don't know, we didn't see anything about him filling out college applications or anything like that. Remember, the whole thing was his trip with Noah to Princeton, and that's why he was in all the scenes with Noah and Cole looking for Allison.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was just his first trip there, which was 6 months ago. It was only 6 months ago.
Well, so. You're right. You're right about the fact that this show has become just a political podium for whatever the writers want to express, whether it's being black in a white America, climate change, whatever else they have something to say about.
Yeah, it is. And And I'm not saying that there's not a place for that, but it just doesn't. It's annoying.
The show's called The Affair, not the political left versus political right.
Yes. So, I mean, like I said, I'm going to be nitpicky. So if I annoy you, just let me know. But I'll still do it. But let me know.
You know, I would never do that, Michelle.
Okay. But as Janelle is talking to Anton, she gets a message that she can't wait to open. She has to open it in the middle of this conversation. But it's something from her boss and something about a meeting. He wants to meet today and all that. So she goes back to the thing and she brings up a thing about his grandparents and has he met with them yet and that he should. And I did kind of like that. She turned into like a mama for a minute. You know, she went from being like, oh, honey, I'm so glad. Oh, and when she's talking to him, she's like, have you made any friends? And he's like, no. And she's like, what? I mean, she's not ignorant. Right? Of course he's made friends. I mean, how? Really?
Well, I mean, you just said it. She's a mom, so she's going to be oversensitive to, like, his
baby. Oh, my gosh. If one of my daughters said, I didn't make friends and I know them and I know their personality, I would laugh. Because, of course, they've made friends. Anton is this gregarious, smart guy, right? Of course he's made friends. He went there. It's obviously not some kind of, like, place that would dislike him because of his color. I think they made that known over the top in last season. And, of course, he's made friends. And she just acts like she's somebody who just couldn't pop. What? What? You haven't made friends? And I'm just like, oh, shut up, Janelle. So,
wow, Michelle coming out with the heat.
But then she turns into mama and she's like, well, you better get down there and see them grandparents of yours. Are you kidding me? What are you thinking?
Janelle looks good without makeup, by the way. She looked good in the bathroom before she put on all her makeup. I mean, she looks really good with makeup. She's the kind of woman that looks good just plain.
Janelle looks good in everything. She looks good in her $1,000 dress. She looks good in her suits at work. Janelle is beautiful. She is, like, so incredibly pretty. But Whitney saying that like that the first time she met her, I couldn't stand it. So anyway, Janelle goes into that meeting that we started the whole season with last time between Noah and Sasha. And Sasha is definitely not as dweebish. Okay, I thought Sasha was a dweeb the whole time. This is what I thought. I thought we're going to have this really dweeby guy. And he wasn't like that, because that's not how Helen saw him. And that's not how Janelle saw him. It's only how Noah saw him.
It's funny because later on in this, when Sasha is with Helen, I made some sort of a note to ask you, like, how long would it take you to put a bullet in your head on a date with Sasha? How long would it take you before you were bored to death and ready to jump off that cliff with him just drilling his boredomness into you on a date like that?
Well, I'm going to give Sasha a pass because, well, we'll talk about it.
Word dick in this next description of this scene. Like, Sasha's a dick for thinking that he should be universally known by everybody. It's so funny. Oh, how could somebody not know Sasha the man? Noah's a dick for laughing at it. And Janelle's a dick for being so mean. And she's a dick to herself. And Sarah Treem's a dick for thinking that we should even care about Janelle. But anyway, you want to describe that scene?
Well, Janelle is driving Noah. And he's laughing at her. I mean, like, belly laughing.
Yeah, like John Candy. Like, right. Over three separate...
Slapping his leg, laughing. Yeah.
Stupid.
Well, but he goes into all the movies that he's played in. And can I just say, okay, here I am. I'm contradicting myself already. This is not going to be good. But I do like the fact that Janelle didn't know him. I like knowing that. I like the fact that Helen didn't know him.
Not everybody reads TV Guide every night to see the up... And here we are doing a podcast on a soap opera, so I'm shooting my own foot. But not everybody cares about TV and knows TV stars.
Right. Right. Yeah. And the fact that they feel so like they should, it's like I think Sasha said it. It's like a male ego thing. So That's kind of interesting.
It's a movie star ego. Women stars, probably same thing. It's just like, oh, you don't know me? That's ridiculously funny. What a good joke
right.
that is.
But Noah laughed too. So it's not just him. It's also another man who's going, you couldn't possibly not know this man. This man is like held in high esteem. And, you know, and I mean, no. And it's not like, I don't know. It's just like so kind of insulting to women that we are supposed to fawn over a man because of some reason. So
I think it's more of a movie star than a man. But anyway,
I think Sasha's take on it is. I think Noah's take is just the male ego thing.
That's because you don't like Noah.
Man, I dislike him more often. I dislike him from his own perspective. I dislike him from everybody's perspective. But then they pull up at the funeral, and this is where Noah is trying to give Janelle these names of everybody. I mean, like everybody, Whitney, Martin, Trevor, Stacey, Priya, Abdul, Helen, Bruce, Margaret, and Janelle's struggling because that's a lot of names. And is she expected to know? It's like she, in her perspective, she's expected to know everybody, even though she's not met anybody.
It's self-deprecating in a bad way. For Janelle to think that what a doof this guy Noah is for machine gunning all these names at me. How could he ever expect me to remember? But she's dating the guy, so she's an idiot for dating him.
Oh, okay, that's a good point. I didn't think
about
that.
She's very negative of herself. She's very mean to herself.
Yeah, I made a note here that she's struggling. She's really struggling with this, and I don't know why she would.
Well, she's got some certain doubts about herself. Her husband, the scene with her ex-husband, kind of solidifies that. Like, you just got to believe in yourself. Don't count on other people to give you the job you want. You got to go get it yourself.
Okay.
She lacks confidence.
Yeah. Okay. That's another thing that annoys me, because she is this. That's not how I would picture Janelle.
Well, outwardly, she's the ball-busting, black go-getter, executive leader, principal, whatever she is. But she's internally doubtful of her own capability.
Okay, but she's not 20, and she's been married to this guy. This is not the first time she's heard this stuff, but suddenly it resonates with her?
I think it could resonate at for anyone at any age. Certain events coincide to make you light come on for you.
I guess. But they notice that they're in dark and everybody else is in white. And Noah is just harping away that this is Helen's fault, that he didn't tell him that that was a dress code for a Hindu funeral. And then Noah goes in, he's saying hello and kissing everyone and he just wants the kids to get to know Janelle. And this is where Whitney in everybody's episode or everybody's perspective is calm. She's different, right? I mean, she was like calm and sweet and that's not how we normally see her. But even from Helen's perspective, she was.
Well, maybe she's just growing more mature.
Maybe. Yeah, and then did you notice the different picture?
Yeah, you finally got Vic in his suit.
Yeah, but it looks like a graduation picture.
Well, it looked like kind of an overlord, like the white overlord. He wasn't smiling, wasn't happy. He was just looking over Janelle's shoulder like the white overlord looking over me.
Oh, that's interesting.
But he wasn't happy. I mean, Noah saw him in the stupid hospital thing, and Helen saw him in a somewhat happier picture, and this one was like the white executive looking over your shoulder.
Interesting. Interesting.
Did we learn what was the real funeral, Michelle, ever from the last episode? It wasn't this one, clearly. What was the real funeral?
How do we know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was only one in the one last time, the funeral. There was the difference in the altercation with Priya at the end, based on Noah's recollection and Helen's recollection. But I don't know. So outside, Noah's pretty much ignoring Janelle. He's got her like over to the side and he's talking to the kids. He's rubbing Helen's arms up and down. And Janelle glances at her phone and sees that she's missed several calls from Joel. So she sneaks off to return the call. And Joel is an overbearing, annoying person who is FaceTiming her. Would you answer that FaceTime
when she just said, "I'm not going to FaceTime"? I don't like FaceTime that much. Janelle's a FaceTimer. She FaceTimes her son and takes this FaceTime. I don't like FaceTime as much as texting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I FaceTime like my grandson if he wants to tell me something or something like that. But I don't do it routinely either. But the point is that she had just told him that she didn't want to do that. She's like, "No, I'm not going to FaceTime." And how? Who would do that at a funeral? I would decline that call.
Yeah, but, I don't know. To her, it's not that important of a funeral, though. She's just arm candy at this funeral.
Well, but she's awfully stressed about it. She feels awfully kind of put out about it. But this is where Joel is saying that they've made him co-principal, and he's super excited. And I know we haven't always gotten along, but now we're on the same side and all this kind of stuff. And well, he's boorish.
Why would he ever think it would be a good thing to celebrate along with Janelle that I've inched my way into your realm, into your territory, and I now share that with you? Aren't we both happy about that? If you're the boss and somebody else becomes co-boss, that somebody else should never like expect you to celebrate that with them.
Well, right. It's obviously a demotion on her part. And the fact that you've got these people saying it's not is just another piece of ridiculousness.
For Joel, yeah. Joel should know that he should be careful about that, not celebratory about it.
Yeah, but they got Joel being this boorish, "Oh, you're at a funeral? Who died?" I mean, yeah. Who does that, you know? And Noah is boorish and everything. And really, the only person who's not boorish in this one is Carl, her ex-husband. So it's like she's just, I mean, Helen's boorish. Bruce is boorish. Everybody's boorish and, like, trying to steamroll over her. And
not Whitney. She's glad she's black woman dating her dad. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, what? Well, I mean, who would say that?
It's a political statement.
It may be the coolest thing he's ever done. And, of course, Janelle's looking at her like, "I can't believe you just said that." So then Janelle is replying to the email on her phone from her boss, Ron Walker, and she can't decide what to say, so she's typing in all this stuff that she probably wouldn't want to actually
send. Yeah, Michelle,
when
you rewrite emails or texts, you don't rewrite the salutation. You don't erase the "Dear John" part. You just erase the part that's the message, the body.
Right.
Why retype that over and over?
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, God.
So Noah comes up and he's making a comment about Hindu traditions and wearing white and how upset he was. And Janelle defends her, saying her husband did just die. Noah just didn't want Janelle to think it was her fault. So he's like, "I just want you to think it's your fault or it's my fault, his fault, you know?" And I mean, it's like, who cares? And then he gets a message from the movie people, and he's like, "They think they own all my time." He's like, "I'm this big movie guy now." And so Bruce comes up and asks Janelle for a drink and to clean up the glasses. And in this rendition of it, Noah scoffs at it, saying, "You think that's bad? You should see how he talks to me." In place of, like, in Noah's version of it, he was very offended for her and apologetic. Helen comes up and she's griping to Noah in place of being vulnerable like she was in Noah's rendition of it and very upset about the valet. And then she makes that comment about, "I think Janelle should go. I think you should go. You might be able to handle this better than Noah or I could." And Janelle gets out there.
Helen adds to the racist, classist problem in this scene, in this version.
Right.
Instead of being neutral or on Janelle's side, she's like one of the white crowd. One of the people that are causing the problem.
Right. I mean, who would even say something like that? Who would go up to somebody and say, "You might be able to handle it better than us because they're the same color?"
Yeah, that's the implication. Black to black. I mean, black people outside, no white, no only whites in here. Although it's a Hindu funeral, so there were a lot of non-white people.
So over the top. So Janelle comes back inside and she sees Noah sitting with his whole family and rubbing Helen's feet, I think. I tried to stop that. I'm pretty sure he was sitting there rubbing Helen's feet. And that's where she texts Noah very nicely, not "I've left," like he read, but "got a meeting I got to get to. Let's talk later."
You always think it's the feet, Michelle. I think it's sometimes other body parts.
That's true. True story. But I don't. Yeah. Okay. So then we go to Janelle and her meeting, and they've just got these people that are just like, "You've done such a great job. Oh, it was really good. The kids love you. It's not a demotion. It's a chance to develop your strengths and work on your weaknesses." They're talking to a professional here. Not somebody who missed the assistant manager job when they're 14 at Chick-fil-A.
Assistant to the manager.
Assistant to the manager.
Well, right. I heard him list her faults.
Well, once she said something, they did. Yeah, but they started off by just, "You did such a good job." So,
"You did such a good job. We're going to demote you."
Right. Right. Well, many of the people who work with her felt ill at ease. And this
student
will help them
walk
both.
Walk out, dismissive of others' concern. Yeah, they ripped her with some pretty heavy. Why wouldn't they just tell her that in a productive way instead of an accusatory way?
Well, and see, we got to remember, too, that the walkout was not her fault. It was Noah's fault. So she was put upon about that. And the other people's concerns, I mean, you have these people who come in as brand new teachers and stuff, and they're trying to tell you, who've been in this profession for 20 years or plus, how to do your job.
Yeah, I know a couple teachers, and I think school politics must be horribly horrible, worse than political politics even. The stupid crap and stupid rules that they have and the stupid guidelines they have to follow, they would be mind-numbingly hard for me to ever do if I was a teacher or administrator.
Well, my youngest daughter just finished her first year teaching and started her second year teaching, and I'm just going to agree with you. But they push this new contract to her and tell her she only has a short time to get it back to them. So Janelle gets in her car and she has 3 messages from Noah wanting to talk. "What? Did I do something wrong? What? What?" And she ignores him and goes to Carl's house. She gets him to look at this contract and she's wanting a reaction out of him, obviously. She wants him to be offended for her. And he's like, "Yeah, it's fine."
So Carl's an attorney?
Evidently. Yeah. And she starts pointing out that her salary gets cut by 15%, and Carl goes, "Yeah, that's pretty standard," and all this kind of stuff. And Janelle's mad that Carl isn't defending her. He says that's not his job anymore. She should have never left him. They get into the fact that he had an affair with his 26-year-old protege, and he is somehow defending that by saying, "I only did it one time, and that's not why you left me. And by the way, I've been seeing a therapist, and he tells me that Janelle was the, that she wanted him to be the militant ideologue in their marriage so she could go out and be the compromise. What does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe it just means it protects her from being the one radicalizing everything, and she can be the moderator and the sensible one.
But still enjoy the benefits
Yeah.
So she gets up to leave, and
Carl makes a good point in that she's not. The contract is simple. It says what they told you. It's clear as day. You're not here for me to interpret this contract for you. You're here for another reason. What's that reason? You're here for support. You're here for me to be on your side.
Well, right. But she goes to leave, and he's like, "Well, take the contract." And then he says, "Are you going to sign that?" And she says, "What else am I going to do? This is my life. Anton's gone." And that's when he gets furious. He starts to defend her. And
yeah, they don't want you as a black person in white society is kind of what it boils down to.
Right. Right.
Which is pretty ridiculous.
I mean, in this day and age, I'm just not, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it from that side, so I'm not going to make a whole lot of comment about it, but
I think it's I think it's on an equal ridiculous par with Montauk being flooded with fish in the parking lots because of climate change.
Oh my gosh. When my husband Mike watched that, he was like, I mean, just, it was like, are you kidding? Just such a social statement about it.
Political.
But, so, yes.
More than social, it's political. It's like, we gotta make our political stance known. Carl does serve one good thing, Michelle. He unzips her dress for her.
Well, I think he got her hair uncaught from her zipper. You and I see these little intimate things really different, which is funny.
Well, I thought she was tugging at her neck at the funeral, like, oh, this dress is too tight, this $1,000 dress. I don't know, maybe he did just fix her hair. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I think her hair was caught in her zipper at that point because she's trying to get it
out. If you weren't here to moderate me, Michelle, I would probably have him unhooking her bra. That's what he was doing.
But he brings up a girl that used to babysit Anton and how he helped her get into politics, and he thinks that's what Janelle should do, be a member of the school board, come at him from the top in place of trying to come at him from the side. And so Janelle then gets a little jealous. So, are you sleeping with this girl? And he's like, she's not the woman that he wants to be with. And then they kiss and we have that.
Yeah, this babysitter may have some political muscle that can help you become a board member.
Right. So then
it's either that or I helped get her elected. I could help you get elected to the board. Or both, maybe.
Okay, so then we fast forward 3 months. Yeah, I think that's what it was. That's what he was saying. You know, you're better than this. Don't let them do this to you. And let's figure out a way that you're in charge. So then 3 months have passed, and Sasha and Ellen are filming the movie. Helen's on set, and I thought she was bored at first, right, and yawning, but, I mean, we find out she wasn't really bored.
It looks like she should have been bored by the sign of what that show is.
Absolutely. But then we go to part two, and it's Helen.
Well, before that, Michelle.
Yeah.
The incriminating bra left behind is freaking like a road crew neon pink. Like, it glows in the dark. It's so obviously standing out from the rest of the clothes.
Right.
That's how Noah got caught. The woman's bra was left behind, but it's like fluorescent pink or red or something glowing in the dark practically. Could it just be a nice little white bra, you know, like something normal?
I mean, I guess. I don't think it would have stood out so much, but is that how Noah got caught?
Yeah, she found some undergarment.
I don't even remember that. I need to go back and watch that. It's not how I remember. I remember him just confessing because he wanted to be with her. I don't even remember that. But I got to say, the Helen perspective, she definitely sees herself in a particular way. But I did like, well, first, tell me what you liked. Did you like anything about the Helen perspective?
I liked the Vic message on the flash drive.
I like the fact that this is 3 months later. I mean, and 3 months is what, the blink of an eye when you lose somebody, literally. And she is just caught up in this grief. And I think that's what a lot of people might not know or understand if they haven't lost somebody really close to them. But it's not like the grief is the worst when you lose them. I don't think, for the most part. The shock can be bad if you're not counting on somebody going. Of course, she knew he was going. But the grief has a progression, typically, from everything I've ever experienced or understood, because you start to miss the person. And I thought they nailed that just so perfectly with her.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think the opposite, like the shock kind of numbs you, like your mind goes numb. And then when that wears off, that's the hard part. The weight of it settles down on you and you have to work your way through it after that shock numbness has worn off.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you have to live with it. And there comes this like realization that you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. And and it's heavy. I think it was perfect the way she put that. So her grief, I thought, was maybe over the top in her, I guess I'm going to say hatefulness or I don't know. Nobody's that honest as she was. Nobody's that honest. But her grief was definitely shown very realistically.
Do you think Helen and Whitney and Noah would be there, but do you think Helen and Whitney are there as some sort of consultants, or you think they're just watching as entertainment, watching this thing get filmed?
No, I think they're definitely just there as entertainment. Noah's the consultant, and then when Noah brings Helen and Whitney on set, he, you know, even makes comment about them just being there, like as an invitation thing, because Sasha didn't even know they were there. So I don't think at this point they're consultant at all. I do think that it may turn into that, because I think that Sasha definitely valued Helen's perspective over Noah's, because Noah's just a go along to get along, and I don't think he wants that. But Helen is just, she's tired, and Noah's asking her, is she okay? And Whitney's like, she's obviously riddled with PTSD. And I think that's probably a pretty good way to put it, although it's kind of a dramatic way to put it.
I liked when Whitney met Sasha, she holds out her hand for him to kiss it.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw that in real life. Michelle was in Tahoe, and I actually had to pick up some stuff and drop it off, but I picked up some stuff from this machinist guy that I buy stuff from, and he's like this old Eastern European, his name's Costa. And my friend's a girl that was with me, and he's like, we told him where we're going, and as he introduced himself to her, he grabs her hand and kisses it. Like it's an old school greeting, you know?
Well, yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can see how some people might be offended or whatever by that, but I think it's kind of charming personally, but
what do you think about the girl holding her hand out expecting it to be kissed, like Whitney did?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but Sasha got the clue. But Noah wants to know what Helen thinks, and he wants her to be honest. And Helen doesn't care. She's like, I am in the midst. I am drowning here. And all this stuff's going on around me, and people expect me to behave as I normally would.
Well, that's why I'm asking if she's there for... Why would she go there for entertainment? Why would she even care? She must be some sort of consultant, you know?
No, she's not. Sasha doesn't know she's even... He doesn't even know who she is.
He may not know everybody in the crew. Why would she go of her own volition to sit and watch this for enjoyable afternoon? You know, why would she want to be there?
Maybe because it was important to Whitney or something. I don't know.
Well, Whitney's old enough to go by herself.
But also, why is Whitney still out in California? Because she goes to school back east, right?
I have no idea why she's in California, except maybe she's a paid consultant. That's my point.
No, she's not a paid. They weren't. Not yet, I don't think. But
they haven't got their first paycheck yet.
Probably. But Helen gets up and she goes to get like a cup of coffee because she's literally fallen asleep. And this is where Sasha comes up. And when he realizes who she is, he's so apologetic that she had to see that scene. Whitney and Noah walk up and Whitney's gushing, saying, oh, you were so vulnerable in that scene. And Whitney and Noah are just like, they can't gush over the guy enough. And Helen's like, what? You know, and it was funny. I did like Sasha when he said he's trying to do justice to Noah's work. And Helen says, aren't we all? I thought that was a perfect, perfect comment.
Sarah's Treem's team hits it on the head a couple times here. Where I'm always dissing her, but I'll give her some good credit in this episode.
Which is what's so frustrating. Because they've got it in them to do this. We see this constantly, and then they don't half the time.
It's very clever of them to write this scene. I've never seen this before in any television or movie, Michelle, where the child gets to see a reenactment of what happened between their parents' breakup. This was very smart, I thought. Whitney gets to witness the scene that where Helen finds out that Noah's cheating on her. It's pretty cool. Pretty smart, I thought.
It is. And it's something that she hasn't obviously ever discussed with Whitney. Well, we're almost there.
Well, why would she? Why would any parent ever discuss that?
Right. But it's something that, I don't know, would you want your kid to even see it? But Sasha appreciates Helen's candor. He wants to go to lunch with her so he can continue this conversation. Helen blows him off, like seriously blows him off. And they have to get to Trevor's rehearsal.
To the delight of Whitney, she loved seeing her mom reject this guy.
I guess she was kind of aghast. I think she wanted the invite.
The part she loved was him hitting on her, I think. But she does blow him off.
So Helen's sleeping in the Uber, and she wakes up. And this is where they're talking about that. Whitney's asking her if that scene was accurate, and Helen says it pretty much was. By the way, Helen tells him in the last scene, that the woman needs to not be so broken, that she needs to be more of a bitch, because they want Noah in this to appear to be likable. And the way they're going to make him likable is if they make this woman more of a bitch, and he needs to be tougher. So I don't know if that's going to play out or not, but I thought it might be important. But Whitney is impressed with her mom. She's like, I can't believe you shielded us from all this. You never gave up on him, and you never let us give up on him. And that must have been so painful for you. And Helen appreciates that accolade coming from Whitney. It's like, okay, finally, all this stuff I've been through, there's at least some appreciation and acknowledgement for it, which I like that too. Whitney asks why Helen and Vic never got married, and Helen does the fool me once statement and then realizes that it's upset Whitney, who's about to get married. But
yeah, why do women think, actually men probably think this too, but got married once, didn't work out, never getting married again. Why didn't Vic, I think I know, but I want to hear your side. Why didn't Vic and Helen get married?
I think Helen, well, there's so many reasons that we could guess, but I think Helen kind of maybe still held the torch. I don't think it was Vic's fault. I think it was Helen's fault, and I think it was because she might have kind of still held the torch for Noah. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the reason I would have answered.
But Helen says, not all men cheat, Whitney. And so they go on. And then we're at the Fun Home musical, and Helen's trying so hard to fall asleep. And I did make a note here that Fun Home, little irony in that, because no one's home in this show is a fun home. Trevor turns around and he notices that that Helen's asleep, and he's upset by that. Helen picks up the program, and it's dedicated to the memory of Dr. Vic Ulla. So she's got all that on her. And then we see, okay, what's Trevor's friend's name?
I don't know, but I like Team Redhead, the mom and the...
Lauren, yeah. She hugs Helen and asks how she's doing. And Whitney pops in and says, Sasha Mann asked her out today, and she blew him off. And then Laura's like, oh, he's the perfect man. He donates half of every paycheck to charity. He teaches acting in prison. He buys movie crews expensive gifts. And then Trevor and, I'm going to say his name wrong, I'm guessing, Braden, come up, Brooklyn, I think it was Brooklyn, come up, and everyone's gushing over them, and Trevor kind of calls his mom out about falling asleep. And I'm really annoyed that people can't understand that she is not going to be who they expect her to be.
Yeah, he's still a high school kid, though. He's not that mature. He expects 100% support from his mom and his thing. He's a selfish kid.
I don't like that.
Says you have to like it, but that's...
No. Well, and I think you could be right, and I think it could definitely play out like that. But much like how they portrayed Whitney in the first few seasons, I mean, it's just not okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Well, and I don't know why. The age of that Whitney now. He's that age.
Right. And also, in that scene, they in the Uber scene, they did talk about that Whitney was in the house when that went on. And that seemed to be kind of profound to her, too. Sorry, I keep jumping back.
It's all right.
So Helen goes into her empty house and Googles about narcolepsy killing you, and all the stuff about how fatigue is related to cancer comes up. We've all Googled something, right? And you're either fine or you're dying. And then, much like Janelle, Helen gets a notification on her computer, but it's from Sasha. He has many questions and needs to talk to her right now. And I thought it was kind of neat. She said she's busy Googling whether he's dying. Now, do you think that everybody gushing over him to her has made her change her mind about...
No.
No?
Like, I should like this guy more because everybody else adores him? No.
Well, right. I should at least talk to him because obviously I'm not seeing what everybody else is seeing.
No, I think he berates her into a corner where she... basically just gives up. I can't ignore this anymore. I'm going to go over and settle it. Okay. He's like a 15-year-old, the way he's texting her. Adults don't talk to each other like that. Right? If you do, it's almost borderline stalking. The getting the phone number and sending multiple texts and unwanted attention. I don't know. I didn't see it as very attractive or appealing.
I mean, I don't think I took it like that. I think it was fine that he contacted her to let her know that. Because, I mean, this is his job, and he wants to do a good job. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt in that so far, that this is not about his attraction to Helen at this point. He just appreciates her input in this, is all I've seen so far.
No, it's his attraction to her. He's trying to hit on her.
I don't think so. I didn't get that. I mean, you might be right, but it's not what I got from it.
All right. Yeah, that's 100% of what I got. He's hitting on her. He thinks she's interesting, and he's after her attention. He's as a man pursuing a woman.
Do you see him, like, rubbing her feet or something? Or anyway. Okay, so Helen's getting out of the Tesla, and I thought it was funny she asked the driver if he really calls Sasha Mr. Man. He comes out to greet her with a double cheek kiss.
Yeah, why does Sarah Treem call him man? Sasha man, Sasha the man. Because he's the ideal man.
We'll find out, I guess. I don't know.
He's in funeral white, just like everyone else was when he greets her at his house. He's in all white.
Okay, it's interesting. I didn't notice that. But as an aside, this guy is huge, right? I mean, he's a big, tall
guy. He's tall, but I think Maura Tierney's short, too, so it's double.
Yeah, but even, like, when he's standing beside Noah, he's a tall... Anyway, they get inside, and it's completely barren, and Helen's kind of taken aback by that. She finds out he's been there 4 years, and he still doesn't have furniture. And then he makes tea and kind of drones on about a 6th-century Buddhist monk who did that. And he tells her, like, this legend about the monk who couldn't stay awake, which was interesting because Helen can't stay awake.
So, Michelle, this is what I typed in my notes. This is what I told you about earlier. Right. Michelle, wouldn't an ass like this bore you into oblivion? Other women out there, what do you think? This guy is a total bore.
Well, see, you... Okay, first of all, I just took I just took this as small talk at the beginning before they got down to the stuff he really wanted to talk about. I didn't view it as a date, so I didn't come at it the same way you're coming at it at all. I thought he was just making small talk before he started really getting her input, like the consultant thing that you were talking about.
Well, it's not a date. And it's under the guise maybe of an adult, it's under the guise of a consultant, like, advice on the right. Movie thing. But he's hitting on her. He wants her there for relationship building reasons, not an advantage to become a better actor in the movie.
Well, he just needs somebody to hit in the face with a basketball, I guess. That needs to happen. But Helen's not impressed with any of this.
I would like to know what other women out there think about being bored by this clown, though. Or are they fascinated by, maybe I'm the idiot.
No, you're not an idiot. Of course not. But
But
you're not an idiot, but
you are kind of a dope.
But I didn't dislike any of this with him. I thought it was okay. I didn't see anything like that. But yeah.
All right.
Any other women, are you on team Mike or team Michelle?
Whitney from Tennessee.
Huh? Whitney.
You're like Whitney. You're like kind of fascinated by this dope.
I'm not fascinated by him per se at all, but I just don't dislike him yet because I don't know him. Because
you're a helpless woman, Michelle. Oh, you're like the redhead. You're like Whitney. You're like all these people that think he's a movie star.
Okay, I am nothing like them, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he's a movie star. The guy could be, you know, anything, and I wouldn't. Anyway. So Helen's just not impressed with anything he's doing, but he gets down to it and says he's agonizing over the film. He's desperate to get it right. And he says the novel's personal to him and gave him insight in his personal behavior. And this is where Helen kind of pops up with some sarcasm and says, oh, you left a wife and four kids too? And he's taken aback because he thought Noah and Helen were good friends, but he senses some bitterness.
Yeah, this is interesting because this, I'll give Sarah Treem some more points here because there was one very important scene, I thought important anyway, a couple seasons ago or last season, whenever it happened, where Noah says, she says to Noah when they're alone together, why are you even here? And he says, I'm your friend. And she says to Noah, we're not friends. Like, that's ridiculous. We're not friends. And in this scene, she tells Sasha that Noah and I are friends.
That's a good point.
Very, very, I mean, not like off, oh, we're friends. We do a lot. We go to the shopping at the mall together. Like friends, like he's an important person as a friend in my life statement. And it was an important rejection whenever she said it a couple seasons ago. Like, we're not friends. Like, scoffing at Noah. I thought it was interesting that now she thinks of him as a friend.
Yeah, I didn't take it as it being so, well, we're friends. I took it more as, like, grudgingly, she has to say, yeah, we're friends. But, I mean, obviously she has bitterness toward him.
I think if she could have told Noah two seasons ago, we're not even friends, don't even dare call me your friend, I think she would have said this to Sasha too. I think she means it in some sort of an important way that Noah is important to her, is still important to her.
And
might be the closest she can let that creep into her inner circle. She can't say he's intimate or she can't say he's my whatever. But friend, I think, is an important word in this context.
A lot's happened in between the time she said that to Noah and now. Noah was very kind to her when Vic was sick, at least by somebody's perspective. I think it was her perspective. So a lot of things have happened. So maybe she is begrudgingly accepting a friendship from him and realizing
that's all true. A lot has happened, and Noah has done some things to make him look better in her eyes. But I think she was lying then. She was protecting herself by saying, don't try to be close to me. We're not. Don't even try to believe that we're friends, even though she didn't mean it. I think it was self-defense back then, and I think it's more accurate now when she admits that he is, in fact, her friend.
See, I don't think I thought she did mean it before. I don't think she felt like Noah was her friend.
Because she was angry at him, but right. he was as important to her. He didn't become more important to her because he was nice to her for 12 episodes.
No, but I wonder, is there another way we could distinguish that relationship? Is there another title we could give it rather than friend back then? Because he wasn't very friendly to her. He wasn't, yeah. The scene you're actually talking about is when he found out that Vic had cancer. Noah was coming over and going, why are you doing this? Why are the kids acting like this? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, Vic has cancer. And he's like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You know, we're friends. And she goes, why would I? And he goes, because we're friends. And she's like, We're not friends.
Well, you're making a great point, because maybe friends is never the right word, even then or now, either then or now, and maybe it's some sort of take the word soulmate and mold it into whatever fits what they are together. But it's not quite lovers, and it's maybe not quite soulmates, but it's something that whatever that little seed is, that's what the rest of the show is going to become, what Helen and Noah become and resolve with each other.
I hope so. I hope we get some resolution out of this. And I'm not sure, just as an aside, why we're not seeing anything about Cole and Louisa.
Because we don't give a frick what happens to them.
But Cole was one of the main characters, one of the main four. I mean, and they're just like, they're not even mentioning.
I think he wanted off the show. Is he still even in the show?
No.
It'd be interesting to see old Cole with old King Cole with Joni.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not there.
We might see an old man version of Cole.
Maybe. When Joni was saying she missed her dad, I was assuming because he was gone, but I don't know. So
down at the lobster roll.
Maybe. Well, no, the lobster roll's underwater. But, okay, then Sasha does get kind of personal. I thought this was kind of personal. I could take it if I tried as him just trying to figure out about the character, but he starts asking her what would make the Ellen character so aggressive. Was it her childhood? Was it daddy issues or whatever? And, or is she afraid she'll never know love again? Which was interesting. And this is where Helen's just like, okay, I'm not giving up any of my personal my personal take on that. And then Helen starts talking about the book, and she's kind of mocking him for liking the book. She's like, it's not very good. He's like, I just said I liked it. And she's like, I think people who like it are idiots or not very smart, I think is what she said.
Yeah, dumb people like the book. I like the book. I don't know if Sarah Treem's doing this on purpose. I'm giving her huge points because this is really pretty good that she's already bored with him. Helen is too smart for this guy. But then he drops some pretty heavy, intelligent, psychological or religious or whatever. His view of life was pretty interesting, too. So this was a hard scene to totally rip because it was interesting.
I thought it was. I mean, I really did. I thought it was. I thought that, I don't know. I mean, I didn't dislike him. I mean, there was parts of him that I didn't understand, I'll say that, but I didn't dislike him. He talks her into staying. She's going to get up and leave. He's like, you came all this way, I think like an hour ride in the Tesla, by the way. They end up going to he's like offering her all these different things. We can go for a walk, we can do whatever, but they go to play basketball on his own basketball court. And they're having fun, and Helen's kind of showing out a little bit until Sasha breaks her nose or whatever with a basketball. They go inside. He pours her some wine and says her nose isn't broken. And she's like, you seem like a very nice psychopath, but I have to go. And she stands up.
So about the basketball court, Michelle, okay, sorry. Yeah. I hate when scenes when men who are supposed to be athletic or at least somewhat athletic, if the guy has a basketball court that he goes to think and go through his zen moments, he's gonna shoot a basketball a little freaking better than the way this guy throws that. He throws a basketball like it's weighs 700 pounds and he's never touched it before in his life, or touched it,
right?
And then he throws it in her face like, hey girl, catch. Woman whips a chest pass from 4 feet away right at her face,
right?
Stupid. It's stupid. With all this good writing and all this philosophy dropping left and right, why would you stupidly put that in there?
Yeah, it wouldn't have to be like that. He could have done a shot that somehow ricocheted off and hit her in the face. You know, I mean, stuff like that can happen. But him just throwing it right at her face.
Or she twists her ankle. It's easy to roll your ankle if you're not used to playing. Something more, you know, he steps on her foot. Something more freaking believable.
I know.
Anyway.
But she gets up to leave, and then she says she doesn't feel good. And
well, she throws up in his potted plant.
Yeah, well, that was. Vase. But Vic is there. He goes to get something, and Vic is there. And that was heart-wrenching to me, saying he's sorry, he never meant for any of this to happen. And then she collapses.
If this is Helen's version,
mm-hmm.
she must really want Vic to think that Vic owes an apology. That was interesting. That was good. That was pretty smart. I don't know.
I get that, you know, I get that. I remember, this is a real personal thing, but I remember when I was a kid and I lost my great-grandfather and I lived with them. I lived with my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother, and I was young, and he died, and just suddenly, out of nowhere, well, he didn't have an illness that anybody knew about or anything. It was like, got up, got ready to go to school, and he was fine, and like by 11 a.m., they were coming to get me and telling me that he was gone. And I remember being so angry, and it was totally irrational, but I was so angry that he was gone. It felt very personal. It felt like he had left me. And so I completely get that.
Yeah, I think it's common.
Yeah. But he thinks something might be wrong with her, that she might have a concussion from the basketball hitting her in the face. And then she just kind of breaks down. And I even believe that part too, right? Because sometimes it's easier to break down with a stranger, maybe, than it is with the people that you're trying to protect from the breakdown. But she tells him she thinks something's wrong with her. She can't wake up. And she tells Sasha about losing Vic and that she wasn't prepared for it to be so permanent. And I was just like, I mean, I was literally like in tears watching that, which is a big deal. I really don't cry at a lot of TV shows, but I was really like kind of messed up from that. And then Sasha says death is relentless. He lost someone too a few years ago, and that's what made him like, he visited a Zen master who suggested he simplify his life. He got rid of everything and moved up there.
Yeah, that's pretty profound. I like that.
Yeah, and then they're outside in the doing aerial yoga on Sasha's little
that was dumb.
Playground. And Helen's back to herself here. She's telling him that, you know, you do realize the monks aren't actually doing this, right? And he says, I know nothing. I kind of like that. It was dumb, but I kind of like that. So Helen comes into her house now, and it's dark. So she spent some time up there. She pulls out the note that Vic has left for her, the little
Flash drive,
yes, yes. And it's 3 months. Do you think that's realistic? Do you think you could go 3 months without looking at that?
Yeah,
what if it were something
I could see that. I think this was kind of interesting that she wasn't ready at the time, and now she's ready to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be difficult. I mean, I couldn't have done it the first day, I don't think. But 3 months is a good little while
to wait.
That's
a long time, yeah.
What if it were something like, you know, I've put the cat in a box, please get it out. Or, I mean, I don't know, something, you know.
You don't record something urgent, though. Clearly, we knew what it was going
to
be.
I know, but I mean, I'm just saying, I would have to look at it because I would be anxious that it was something timely, you know.
I made you a roast. It's in the fridge. Don't let it.
Yeah, something like that, you know. I don't know. But she puts it in a computer, and there he is, and he's telling her he loves her. He's sorry for what he's putting her through. Telling her that she's probably hiding her feelings so as not to worry people, which I think is exactly what they were trying to get across to us, but we were smart enough to figure that out. She's probably surprised by how much she misses him. Okay, I don't think he would have thought she would have waited 3 months to look at that.
Probably not.
I don't think he would have known that she would miss him that much 5 minutes after he's gone. But anyway,
I like that she imagines Vic apologizing to her, and then in this little video vignette he does actually apologize to her, and I like the good advice he gives her to be there for yourself and all that. I just like that the writing of this was pretty good. This is pretty dramatic and pretty powerful.
I thought it was. Yeah, I agree with you. Spend the rest of your life enjoying yourself. If you can't do it for you because you're not a selfish person, then do it for me. Live for both of us now.
Although, ironically, it'll make her long for Vic more and make her miss him more. It's pretty good advice from Vic.
It is. It is. And it's very...
touching.
I mean, I was touching. I was very moved that he did something like that for her. Okay, Mike, then we go to Joni. We go to Joni, who you can't even vomit in a toilet in 30 years. Mark this down. And it flush because the toilet doesn't know what biological agent is in it.
Well, when you vomit up, now Michelle, when you've overdosed on pills, you vomit them up, right? Is the water in the toilet perfectly clear, and are the pills perfectly like you just poured them right from the bottle into the clean toilet?
I mean, did she actually swallow them or just put them in her mouth?
That was the most pure. I don't even want to say it because it's disgusting, but it was the most benign vomit scene I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing, but you have to override your toilet to make it flush. I mean, do you still think we're in this kind of future? Because you were saying last week, oh, I can see this.
I actually can. You got an Apple Watch that tells you when your sleep is irregular and your heartbeat is causing, you know, stress, and I could see toilets diagnosing bodily functions and telling you things about yourself.
Okay, I just want my toilet to flush. Just flush. No matter what I put in it, take it away.
You don't want it to talk to you?
I don't.
You don't need a code to flush it?
I really don't want to have to override. I don't. So then she goes into the office and she's offered a cricket snack from her pregnant boss. She talks about how the keys were bleak. I mean, we don't even really know what she's talking about yet. They're discussing saving the coast, and Joni says that they need mangroves, but the client went with a gate that's barely a Band-Aid. I mean, and we don't, like I said, we don't even really know. A gate? What kind of gate would save, I don't know.
It just is such a political platform. We've already kind of said all this, but the high-speed train, the bullet train to... You know, we have one here in California, bullet train to nowhere, that they poured billions of dollars in. And the flooding, the train was delayed by floods, and something in Houston's delayed by floods.
Right.
So the world's sinking into climate disarray because of climate change.
Right. And the pregnant friend's eating cricket because that's maybe the only protein. She says, I can't get enough protein. And so she's getting it by eating cricket. For her carbon bomb. But I think the point of this scene, other than that, was that Joni doesn't want to be with her family. She wants another assignment right now. And that was just ridiculous. But the only assignment in the world they've got left is the DOD is trying to save an old base. It's an erosion study, probably another swinging gate in Montauk.
Yeah, so Joni's some sort of an engineer planner of some kind to help save the world from the destruction of climate change.
Yes.
Save the coast, something like that.
Right. Right. And Joni's like, well, that's what keeps us in our job, is because these people keep doing the Band-Aids or whatever. But the boss is trying to get her to go home, enjoy her family. And she's like, nope. So why doesn't she like her family?
Yeah, I don't know. She has girls. She has daughters.
Yeah, two daughters.
I don't know. She has no husband because she's... Well, I don't know that we know that, do we?
Yeah, she has Paul. Remember the guy?
Yeah, it was hard to figure out what was real from that scene. But yeah, I guess you're right. Had him or has him still?
No, she still has him because she talks to him when she's on this train. She's reading a book about Montauk, I guess the way it used to be. And we can tell time's passing, the train stops, the conductor apologizes that the tracks are flooded, and nobody's even, or she's the only one on there, I guess, at this point, but they're, like, not surprised. It's like, oh, tracks flooded. Of course they are. She gets out the earbud and calls Paul. He was supposed to be in Houston, but the entrance to the park flooded again. So there's obviously a problem with flooding. So I guess the future isn't all self-picking strawberries and birthday blowhorn fireworks.
It has to be because there's no land left. It has to be artificially grown.
So Joni asks about the girls, and Paul says they miss her. And this is where she lies and says that Lane was desperate for her to take this assignment. She practically begged her, and she's going to go stay at her dad's place.
Well, that's why. So Joni's having a problem because Joni begged her. Joni wanted this assignment, and the boss wanted her to go home. So Joni have trouble at home?
She just doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, that's
I mean, she's
trouble,
really
right?
weird. Yeah, but what trouble? I mean, Paul's like the nicest guy. You know, he's like overly nice. The kids are sweet and everything. Evidently, she adopted at least one of them because she talks about that in the last episode. But I don't know.
One or both. Know. She's calling a baby right. a carbon bomb. It's like, don't add to the problems of the world by having children.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's what made me think that she might not be with... I guess if he calls her, you're right, though. She is reluctantly, if not...
Well, they were in bed together last time, and then she got up and...
She wasn't
very
receptive. She was receptive by wifeliness. She didn't really... wasn't very attracted to him. I don't know.
Well, she definitely wasn't... It was like she was... counting the ceiling tiles or something for sure. So then she's at the old Montauk train station, and the train is, at first I wrote, the train is the only thing that looks different, because the way they showed it, everything else was the same. You got this bullet train coming into this 1980s train station. It looks the same, but then no, I was definitely wrong. The parking lot is flooded with potholes of fish. So the ocean's coming up so much that it's depositing fish that are still alive, so it must do it often, in the potholes.
Yeah, and I guess it could be high tide and the water rushes up over the, you know, like the land is sinking, or the tides are higher because of the glaciers melting or whatever.
Right, right.
But the higher tide brings the fish onto the parking lot and they fill in the potholes and the tide goes out and who knows? Who knows how it was supposed to work?
Well, but it's like the whole town was like this war zone. I mean, they showed like this aerial view and everything is like dilapidated and moldy and there's like... I mean, I don't even know how you'd get around up there.
Well, I think the implication is the community that used to be there can't live there anymore because it's the tides are ruining the
right
livability of that community.
So she walks up to Cole's beautiful house that he just built like 30 years ago, this mansion on the water, and her fingerprint won't let her in, her bracelet won't let her in, her face won't let her in, and so she does it the old-fashioned way and breaks a window.
So there's a couple implications there, like she must have been there multiple times before because Cole didn't install all this high-tech hand recognition lock and face recognition.
Did he not?
She, well, not in 2020 or 2019
no, but-
or whatever. I think she... I would like to know what happened to Cole, even if he's not on the show anymore. I'd like to see him or hear about what happened to him.
That's what I was saying. They're showing us, you know, real time with Noah and Helen and Janelle, the time that we were going back and forth with Cole and when Allison died. I mean, it's only, you know, what, 6-9 months after that we're in that time with Noah and Helen. And I think they should tell us something about Cole.
Well, I know,
Cole.
But except for the fact that Joshua, whatever, whoever he is, I heard didn't want to be on the show anymore.
Right, but, I mean, you can still tell his story. They could still have a conversation about it, particularly since they've got Joni in here, and I'm hopeful that they will. But
well, they
the
probably
end.
Will. They're dripping. They're on purpose. They're purposely dribbling it out slowly, so we
right.
have to stay interested in Joni.
Joni's hard to stay interested in.
Yeah,
why did
for
she
one
turn
thing,
out
she,
like this?
She doesn't even look like Joni. I know, she's world-weary and just, like, not very likable, not very happy.
No, and I would think, well, maybe that's just the climate of the time, right? But that's not how her husband was. He was happy and jovial and nice and...
Yeah, lots of people are happy. Sasha's happy.
No, I'm talking about in her time, though. Sasha's still back in this time, you know. But in her time, her husband's good. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's time related. I think it's just Joanie's life related.
Yeah, she's robotic. It's just really odd because that's not what we saw of her as a little girl. I mean, she grew up in that house.
She's the product of an affair, Michelle.
She is the product of a bunch of affairs, actually. Okay, so the next on, did you watch them?
Nope.
It's very few this time. Some woman's talking to Noah, and she is saying that he had an enormous fall from grace, and does he think his redemption is complete? Then Joanie is asking a bartender how much she owes him, and he gets fresh with her and says it's on the house. Now,
is that the lobster roll?
No, I don't think so.
Is it Max?
I think it's, remember, didn't Oscar have a bar? Or was it not Oscar who had the bar? Because I thought I had it all figured out. Now I'm questioning myself.
I don't remember
the bar that Allison and Helen were sitting and talking?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think he did, although I can barely remember that guy.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was the same bar anyway. And this guy is very Oscar-esque. It looks like just in the seconds that I saw him. And remember, Oscar had a son. So I'm guessing that this is Oscar's son, just a wild guess. But he's making unwanted advances. And then we see them in some type of altercation. She has an altercation with him, and he's nude, and she's nude.
That's quite an altercation.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were fighting, it looked like. I mean, maybe they were, I don't know, but it looked like a fight. Sasha's telling Noah that he can't see himself, and that's why he can never get what he wants. So Sasha's kind of turning on Noah, and Noah is beating on Helen's door saying, where is he? Where is he? And she's like, who? And he's like, Sasha. He starts yelling for Sasha. So is Noah getting jealous of Sasha's relationship with Helen?
Maybe he's just late for his scene.
Maybe. But that's it. That was all they showed us.
I don't know, would Noah even have any right to be jealous of Helen and whatever man? Certainly not. No. He wouldn't have no right. He would have no right to be pounding on her door to come on out, you cat. I know you're in there. That's not believable.
No, it's not. But, you know, maybe it's not jealousy. Maybe it's something else. But, I mean, having said that, I don't think jealousy is very rational as a rule anyway. Right. So I think it's okay if somebody's jealous over something they have no right to be jealous over. But I'm just curious now. I just remember in all the other seasons, except for the last one, Helen wanted Noah back. And I wonder how much we're going to get Noah wants Helen back now. And I'm curious if Sarah Treem is going to have it like, okay, Noah's going to get what he wants, and they're going to get back together. I've always kind of pulled for the originals to get back together, which was devastating last time because when Allison was gone, that wasn't going to happen. But now,
it doesn't happen in real life, though. She has to make it so that it looks like they realize they made a huge mistake. They want to be back together, but they can't really ever be back together.
Well, if she puts them back together, I'm going to see Helen as weak now. And I don't want to see Helen as weak.
All right.
That's all I got, Mike.
All right. Well, that's 502, Michelle. Anything, any final words for anybody?
No, I just want this to be good. It could be so good, and there's taste of it being good, but I don't
know. That's why making fun of this show, I mean, that's why... It's just so disappointing when they screw it up because they could be good. It kind of used to be pretty juicy and good, and now it's just so riddled with stupidity. I don't know. Would you watch this if we weren't doing this podcast?
I would have to finish it. I don't hate it, but I certainly wouldn't watch it like the moment it comes out like I do now.
Are there any shows that you started watching that you stopped?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Walking Dead?
Fear the Walking Dead. I probably have seen The Walking Dead, most of them. I know I haven't turned it on recently, but I probably will finish it. But yeah, the Santa Clarita Diet, we started that, and that just kind of trailed off.
Handmaid's Tale?
No, I finished Handmaid's Tale.
What else? Orange is the New Black?
Definitely stop that one.
We had a podcast on that. We stopped halfway through.
Yeah, I don't know. And it was so good. It was so, so good. But we shouldn't stop, though. We should finish what we start. But we did have a lot going on.
All right, Michelle, 503, I can hardly wait.
I know. Just a few more days. We'll be there.
All right. See you then.
See you then, Mike.
Bye.
Oh, and wait, guys. Remember, are you Team Mike or Team Michelle? Please answer and let us know. Would you have thought Sasha was a dweeb and gotten up and left, or would you have given him the benefit of the doubt?
So Team Mike. At Michelle from TN or at Scathing Tweets. All right, okay. Michelle, that's enough.
Okay.
Bye.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.